Welcome to the Hospital Finance Podcast, your go-to source for information and insights that can help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital. And now, the host of the Hospital Finance Podcast, Michael Passanante.
Hi, this is Mike Passanante. We hope you enjoyed this special episode, which is a compilation that provides a thorough review of the Comprehensive Care for Joint Replacement Program. Hi, this is Mike Passanante. Welcome back to the Hospital Finance Podcast. We're so glad you're here with us today. And on today's show, we are going to be talking about the general implementation model for CJR. And to help us go through that, we're joined by Derek Chavis, who is a manager in our reimbursement services team here at Bessler Consulting. Welcome, Derek.
Hi, and thanks for having me here today to talk about this very important topic.
Well, we know you're extremely knowledgeable about this, and I think you're going to bring a lot to the audience here in terms of their understanding of what CJR is, particularly as we work through this entire CJR series, which we're going to be having. So why don't we just jump right in? Can you explain to us what CJR is and where can we find the final rule to help us understand what's actually in it?
Sure, that's no problem. On November 16th, CMS issued the final rule for the Comprehensive Care for Joint Replacement Payment Model, or as we've been referring to it here, the CJR model. Under CJR, certain hospitals will be held accountable for the quality and total cost of care provided to Medicare beneficiaries. And we're talking about care specific to lower extremity joint replacement procedures. These procedures are among the most expensive inpatient surgeries for Medicaid beneficiaries, and so they have drawn quite a bit of attention recently. The CJR hospitals will, in addition, be held accountable to CMS-defined target prices associated with costs occurring during the episodes of care. Costs occurring up to 90 days post-hospital discharge, including any SNF costs, will also be considered part of total cost. The CJR payment model will be codified at 42 CFR Part 510.
So HHS, their delivery system and the reform goals associated with those include better care, smarter spending, and healthier people. So how does CJR support those goals?
Well, the CJR model, it's an alternative payment model that will contribute to the Medicare goal of having 30% of all Medicare fee-for-service payments made via alternative payment models by 2016 and 50% by 2018. Effective implementation of the CJR model will improve the quality and efficiency of care for all Medicare beneficiaries experiencing these procedures. This is essential to creating a healthcare system that delivers better care, spends our dollars more wisely, and leads to healthier Americans.
Derek, who will be affected by the CJR model?
Well, nearly all hospitals within a selected geographic area will be required to participate in the model, and they will have the opportunity to partner with surgeons, other physicians, and post-acute care providers to coordinate patient care more effectively. Additionally, Medicare beneficiaries with an inpatient hospitalization for an LEJR procedure, as designated by MSDRG 469 or 70, will be included in this model. These MSDRGs primarily include single joint hip and knee replacement procedures.
And where will the CJR model be implemented?
Well, the model is going to be implemented in 67 metropolitan statistical areas, covering a total of 791 providers.
Derek, how were these Medicare hospitals chosen to participate in the model?
Those hospitals currently being paid under the Inpatient Prospective Payment System, or IPPS, which are physically located in one of the selected MSAs, and not currently participating in the BCPI initiatives for low extremity joint replacement procedures, are required to participate in the model. A list of these facilities can be found on the CMS website.
And so why are these hospitals required to participate in the CJR model?
CMS is implementing this model at a regional level. CMS believes it's important to test this alternative payment model among a wide range of facilities, including those that would normally apply to participate. CMS also believes that by requiring the participation of a large number of hospitals with diverse characteristics, the model will result in a more robust data set for evaluation of this bundled payment approach and will stimulate a rapid development of new evidence-based knowledge. Testing the model in this manner allows CMS to learn more about the patterns of inefficient utilization of services and how to incentivize the improvement of quality for common LAJR procedure episodes. This learning could inform future Medicare payment policy.
Why is CMS implementing the CJR model?
Well, CMS believes there's an opportunity to improve care for Medicare beneficiaries who undergo one of these joint replacement procedures. These LAJR procedures are expensive and tend to require quite extensive recovery time. In addition, there's substantial regional variation in care patterns and episode spending. For example, the average Medicare expenditure for surgery, hospitalization, and recovery ranges from about $17,000 to $33,000 across various geographic regions. CMS is testing this model primarily to better align incentives for hospitals, physicians, and post-acute care providers to improve quality and coordination of care from the initial hospitalization all the way through discharge and recovery. The goal of this model is to improve care coordination and care transitions between medical settings with the expectation of improved outcomes for Medicare beneficiaries.
Derek, when will the CJR model start and for how long will it last?
The first performance period for the CJR model will begin on April 1, 2016, and the model consists of five performance periods. The performance period start date was designed to provide hospitals with adequate time to prepare for participation by identifying care design opportunities, beginning to form financial and clinical partnerships with other providers, and using data to assess financial opportunities under the model.
How will the CJR model improve the quality of care for patients?
Well, the model has the potential to improve quality in four different ways. First, the model adopts a quality-first principle where hospitals must achieve a minimum level of episode quality before receiving reconciliation payments in those cases where episode spending is below the target. Second, higher episode quality, considering both performance and improvement, may lead a hospital to receive quality incentive payments based on the hospital's composite quality score, which is a summary score reflecting the hospital's performance and their improvement. Third, in addition to quality performance requirements, the model also incentivizes hospitals to avoid expensive and harmful, potentially harmful events, which increase episode spending and reduce the opportunity for reconciliation payments. And fourth, CMS provides additional tools to improve the effectiveness of care coordination. These tools include providing hospitals with relevant spending and utilization data, waiving certain Medicare requirements to encourage flexibility in the delivery of care, and finally, facilitating the sharing of best practices between participating hospitals through a learning and diffusion program. More information on quality and the pay-for-performance methodology can be found on the website, the CMS website.
Derek, thanks for that great overview of CJR and for spending some time with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Mike Passanante, and we are very glad that you are here with us again on the Hospital Finance Podcast. And today I am joined once again by Derek Chavis, who is a manager in our reimbursement services team here at Bessler Consulting. And today Derek is going to help us understand how providers are paid under the Medicare CJR program. Welcome back, Derek.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, so right off the bat, can you tell us how will providers and suppliers be paid under the CJR model?
Sure. All providers, including SNFs and their suppliers, will continue to be paid as usual under the fee-for-service payment system. All the rates, the rules, and the procedures will all remain constant. The only difference being that under this new CJR model, upon completion of a performance period, Medicare claims furnished to the beneficiary during the episode will be combined to calculate actual what's referred to as episode spending.
Can you explain episode spending to us?
Sure. CMS calculates the spending for an episode by summing payments for qualified hospitalizations under MS-DRGs 469 and 470 and all subsequent and related Part A and Part B spending for 90 days post-discharge. It's the sum of these costs which is referred to by CMS as episode spending.
So what are the costs that are included in episode spending?
CJR episode spending includes payments to both participating and non-participating physicians, but it does exclude payments to physicians that have opted out of the Medicare program. Capital payments are included in CJR spending calculations. Note, though, that only payments specifically related to a CJR episode are included. If a payment is made for a period that extends beyond the end of the CJR episode, it will be prorated so that only the portion attributable to the period during the episode is includable in that episode's spending. If a payment was made for home health services, for example, that started before the episode and ended during the episode, those costs would also be prorated. CMS estimates that 50% of CJR episode expenditures will be for inpatient care, 15% for physician payments, and 35% for other services and providers.
So, Derek, how is CMS going to link quality to the payment that providers receive?
CMS has adopted a composite quality score methodology. The composite quality score is a hospital-level quality score reflecting performance and improvement on the two quality measures finalized for this model, THA, TKA complications measure, and the HCAHPS patient experience survey. Successful reporting of outcomes and risk data will be an inherent component of these measures. The composite quality score methodology was adopted to determine, one, the amount of quality incentive payment that may be made to the hospital, and two, the hospital's eligibility for reconciliation payment if savings are achieved beyond the target price.
Okay, so you just mentioned the target price. Can you explain what the target price is or target pricing as it might be known?
Sure. CJR hospitals will receive separate episode-specific target prices for MS-DRGs 469 and 470, each reflecting the differences in spending for episodes initiated by their respective DRGs. In response to comments, CMS will implement a specific pricing methodology for hip fracture patients due to a significantly higher spending associated with these more complex cases. A simple risk stratification methodology will be used to set different target prices for patients with hip fractures within each MS-DRG.
So, Derek, how will cost of care targets be established?
Episode cost of care targets will be established, based initially anyway, on a mix of both hospital-specific and historic regional spending, eventually transitioning to only regional spending. In early performance years, targets will be established based primarily on hospital-specific historical spending during the 90-day episode, but in later performance years, targets will be established based solely on regional historical spending.
So how is the target price calculated?
CMS will use the three most recent years of available claims data for establishing the baseline period for each performance year and calculating the historical benchmark against which actual spending will be compared. Historical benchmarks will be rebased every 2 years.
Can you explain how episode spending and target pricing will be used in determining provider payments?
Sure. CMS will be using both components, episode spending and target pricing, to help them in their determination of reconciliation and or repayment amounts that are made to either CMS or the provider. After each performance year, CMS will perform a retrospective reconciliation of episode spending. Total episode spending amounts will be compared to target prices by calculating what's called net payment reconciliation amount, or the NPRA, which is really just the sum of the amounts above and below the target price for each episode in the performance period. If the final NPRA is below zero, that amount is paid to the hospital as what's referred to as a reconciliation payment, as long as that hospital has met a minimum composite quality score. If the NPRA is above zero, that amount is owed to CMS by the hospital as a repayment amount. It should be noted that hospitals will not be responsible for any repayment amounts due for the first performance year, but may earn reconciliation payments for all performance years.
Derek, thanks for coming by to shed some light on how our providers are going to be paid under the CJR model.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Mike Passanante, and welcome back to the Hospital Finance Podcast. Today we're joined by Maria Miranda, who is the director of our reimbursement services team here at Bessler Consulting. Maria is going to be talking with us about quality measures as they relate to the comprehensive care for joint replacement program. So welcome back, Maria.
Thank you, Mike.
So Maria, quickly for our listeners, could you just give us a recap of what CJR is?
Sure. So CJR is the new mandatory bundled payment model introduced by CMS that became effective for almost 800 hospitals in about 67 MSAs on April 1st of this year, just a few weeks ago. The Comprehensive Care for Joint Replacement model, or CJR as we call it, aims to support better and more efficient care for beneficiaries undergoing the most common inpatient surgeries for Medicare beneficiaries, which is hip and knee replacements. They're also referred to as lower extremity joint replacements, or LEJR. So hip and knee replacements are the most common inpatient surgery and can require lengthy recovery and rehabilitation periods. In 2014, there were more than 400,000 procedures, costing more than $7 billion for the hospitalization alone. It's no wonder that CMS has chosen these procedures for this new program. This alternative model will contribute to Medicare's goal set by the administration of having 30% of all fee-for-service payments made via alternative payment models by 2016 and 50% by 2018. Quality health care is a high priority for the Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. CMS implements quality initiatives to assure quality health care for beneficiaries through their quality performance measures.
Thanks for that, Maria. So let's dive into the quality measures as part of this program, and we've broken various pieces of this down through a series of podcasts. So today, can you just explain for us what a quality measure is as it relates to CJR and why it's important?
Sure. So quality measures aren't new to hospitals and certainly not to CMS. Over the past several years, Medicare payment policy has moved away from fee-for-service payments that are not currently linked to quality, and they're moving towards payments that are linked to quality. So in the final rule for CJR, CMS presented their belief that CJR would test an episode payment model with the goals of improved quality of care and cost efficiency. Incentivizing high-value care through episode-based payments for lower extremity joint replacements is a primary objective of CJR. Therefore, incorporating those quality performance measures into the episode payment is essential. It's an essential component of CJR. CMS believes that quality measures integrated into the CJR model will allow for an effective assessment of post-operative outcomes. This quality-specific detail will also provide an opportunity for CMS to collect data from the patient's perspective, data that are necessary to finalize and test specifications of a hospital-level, risk-adjusted, patient-reported outcome measure. It's called the PRO for primary elective extremity joint replacement procedures.
So clearly, quality measures are important as they relate to CJR. So let's unpack this a little bit. Can you explain to us which quality measures are being used in the new model and how they're being used to determine quality?
Okay. So in the final rule for CJR, CMS adopted two quality measures, as well as a voluntary reporting for patient-reported outcome, which is the PRO data, that will be used in a composite quality score methodology to link the quality total hip and total knee surgeries in participant hospitals to determine the payment. The first measure is called an RSCR, or the Hospital Level Risk Standardized Complication Rate, following elective primary total hip arthroplasty and or total hip total knee arthroplasty. This complications measure is currently implemented in the Hospital Inpatient Quality Reporting Program and the Hospital Value-Based Purchasing Program and assesses a hospital's risk standardized complication rate, which is the rate of complications occurring after primary elective total hip or total knee surgery. This measure outcome is the rate of complications during a 90-day period that begins with the date of the index admission to a specific hospital. An index admission is the hospitalization to which the complications outcome is attributed. The second measure is what's known as the HCAHPS, or the Hospital Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems Survey Measure. The CJR model will use HCAHPS survey measure, which is a national standardized publicly reported survey of patients' experience of hospital care. The HCAHPS survey measure is a survey instrument and data collection methodology for measuring patients' perceptions of their hospital experience. The HCAHPS measure asks recently discharged adult patients 32 questions about aspects of their hospital experience that they are uniquely suited to address. The core of the survey contains 21 items that basically ask how often or whether patients experienced a critical aspect of hospital care.
Maria, how are these quality measures used to determine payment to providers?
So CMS has adopted a composite quality measure that will be used to determine eligibility for reconciliation payments and to reward hospitals for quality performance. The quality measures will be used to compute a composite quality score. The composite quality score computed for each participant hospital will summarize the hospital's level of quality performance and improvement on specified quality measures. The CJR model assigns different weights to each of these measures. The measure weights for the composite quality score are 50% for the hospital level risk standardized complication rate following elective primary hip or knee surgery, 40% for the HCAHPS survey measure, and 10% for the voluntary patient reported outcomes data submission. So in other words, these quality measures will actually determine whether or not the hospital gets a payment to begin with.
Maria, how are the composite score quality performance points calculated?
To calculate quality performance points, CMS will first capture each participant hospital's measure performance on the total hip or total knee complications measure, which is captured in the Hospital Inpatient Quality Reporting Program. Next, CMS will capture the hospital's performance measure on the HCAHPS survey based on the four most recent quarters in the HIQR program. Then the national data for each measure for all hospitals in the Hospital Inpatient Quality Reporting Program with reported quality will be arrayed to determine and assign a percentile distribution for the scores for each participant facility's quality measure components. Then the hospital quality performance score on each measure will be compared to the national percentile distribution. Finally, the hospital will be assigned quality performance points based on where they fall on the scale of CMS-defined performance percentiles. The hospital will receive a quality performance score for each of the measures. Once all of the achievement and improvement points are calculated for each measure, including the points awarded for the reporting of the total hip or total knee PROs and limited risk variable data, all of the points will be added up to calculate the participant hospital's composite quality score.
Okay, so how is the composite quality score used to determine payment?
The composite quality score will be incorporated into the pay-for-performance methodology for the CJR model that assigns a participant hospital to a quality category at the time of reconciliation for a performance year. Hospitals that provide high-quality episode care will have the opportunity to receive quality incentive payments based on their composite quality score that places each hospital into one of four quality categories. Those categories are below acceptable, acceptable, good, and excellent. Annually, a hospital will get a series of points that convert into a composite quality score. So essentially, that means that if you have less than 4 points, you will be assigned a quality score of below acceptable, and you won't be entitled to any gain sharing. Furthermore, your target price will be set at a 3% discount from prior year's charges. That's a pretty significant impact on reimbursement, considering that it represents 3% reduction from the total bundled charges, which includes professional fees, post-acute care, readmissions, and hospital charges. On average, that represents about $1,000 per case, which is a penalty to the hospital. Now, hospitals receiving between 4 to 6 quality points will be assigned a quality score of acceptable. I'm not sure how acceptable a 2 to 3% discount on target price will be, since that equals an average penalty of about $600 to $1,000 per case, which is payable back to CMS at the end of the year. Hospitals scoring between 6 and 13.2 points are scored as good and will only get a 2% reduction on the target price. And finally, hospitals scoring above 13.2 points are considered excellent. Their discount will be 1.5%. This is still a modest impact, but it's only half of the highest possible discount of 3%. A hospital in this scenario is in a much better position to be successful under CJR.
Will this quality measure data be available to participating providers?
So in order to facilitate access to the measures data included in the CJR model, CMS will post the data on each participant hospital's performance on each of the finalized quality measures in a downloadable format in a section of the Hospital Compare website specific to the CJR model. Similar to what is done today for the Hospital Readmissions Reduction Program and the Hospital Acquired Conditions Reduction Program. CMS will post the absolute score on the measure as well as the percentile score that is used to tie quality measure scores to payment. The CJR specific data will be posted on the same time frame as the existing Hospital Inpatient Quality Reporting Program for July public reporting on the Hospital Compare website. The voluntary total knee and total hip patient reported outcomes and limited risk variable data will not be publicly reported. However, CMS will publicly acknowledge that a hospital has participated in the data submission by placing a symbol by the hospital's name when posting the total hip and total knee complications measure and the HCAHPS survey measure results on the Hospital Compare website.
Maria, last question. What can providers do to get started on the road to gain sharing with CJR?
The voluntary submission of the total hip and total knee patient reported outcomes measure is the easiest thing that hospitals can do to get started on the road to gain sharing. Submission of PROs offers a 2-point bonus on quality scores and is the first step towards measuring and improving outcomes. Careful study of PRO data will provide insights into what's working and what isn't and offers a competitive advantage for hospitals. Hospitals would need to report 50% of their patients' PRO data or at least 50 patients to earn 2 additional bonus points to the composite quality score. So right now, this is a voluntary submission, but 2 points is pretty significant, and it's the easiest thing you can do. And we know that in the end, when CMS collects this data, they always go back and utilize it for other measures. So it's an easy thing to do, and it's 2 bonus points. So I think that's the first place to start.
Maria, thanks for helping us understand more about CJR quality measures.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
Hi, this is Mike Passanante. Welcome back to the Hospital Finance Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Maria Miranda, who is director of our reimbursement services team here at Bessler Consulting. And as part of our CJR series, looking at that bundled payment program, Maria is going to be talking to us about the data sharing elements, as well as how payments will be reconciled for hospitals in the program. So welcome, Maria. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to be here.
Maria, let's get right into it. How can a hospital obtain their data for this program so they can see how the calculations are actually being performed or what data they're being evaluated on?
Sure. So actually, by now, most hospitals that are participating in the CJR program have probably already requested their data and are probably in the midst of analyzing it as we speak. But if they haven't, they can do so by emailing CMS at cjr@cms.hhs.gov. And they'll need to include 2 points of contact and the hospital CCN in the subject line.
Then how can a hospital review the per-episode payment data?
So CMS issued a series of HIPAA-compliant summary and detailed claims relevant to CJR. The available files include claims detail on the anchor admission, as well as all the services delivered by the post-acute care providers in the 90-day period considered part of the CJR episode. That data was run based on admission dates from 2012 through 2014. The hospital will also find a hospital-specific summary file as well as a regional file. There are 9 different regions, so whatever region the hospital is a part of, they'll get that regional file as well. The hospital can use those summary files to basically determine how they compare to the region, either by MSDRG and fracture combination or by service type. And then there are a whole slew of other files available as well, including a demographics file that includes items such as gender and age on the beneficiary that can also help them with the analysis.
So it sounds like the data is already available. Is that correct?
Yes, the baseline data is available. It was made available back in March or April. However, CMS recently updated the summary files, and they also included a new file containing information that allows a provider to replicate their target prices. The new file was added under the pricing subfolder and includes such things as the national growth factor, the update factor, the wage index, as well as the discount that will be applied to the target pricing for the first performance year. CMS also made corrections to the target prices that were originally posted. Those changes weren't major. It only throws off the target price by a few dollars one way or the other. But again, if you're trying to tie into your target price, you want to make sure that you go back in and you get the latest and greatest files. I believe that those new files were posted at the end of April and early May. So again, even if you've already downloaded your files when they were first uploaded to the website, you need to go back in and get the latest and greatest files.
So going forward, how often will CMS make this data available?
So CMS will issue the data on a quarterly basis during each performance year. So it's critical to keep, you know, checking your data as it gets uploaded.
So now let's turn our attention to the reconciliation portion of the discussion. Can you explain for us how CMS will determine the net payment reconciliation amount for each organization?
The net payment reconciliation amount, or the NPRA, is the sum of the amounts above or below the target price for each CJR episode in the performance period. So if your hospital exceeds the target amount for cases as determined by CMS for that MSDRG or fracture combination, then there's money owed back to CMS by the hospital. However, the payback amount is waived in the first performance year and capped at increasing percentages in future performance years. However, if the hospital comes under the target amount for the CJR episode, then it can receive a reconciliation payment from CMS, assuming that they also meet the program's quality requirements, as we've discussed in previous podcast recordings.
How will CMS reconcile the hospital's potential payment or repayment amount?
So initially, CMS will run out claims starting in March of 2017 for the first performance period, and it's going to issue a reconciliation report to the hospital. That reconciliation report is going to include information on the participating hospital's composite quality score, which is going to determine whether or not they're eligible for a payment. The actual episode payments for the participating hospital, the NPRA, whether or not the hospital is eligible for a reconciliation payment or must make a repayment, and the actual reconciliation payment or repayment amount. Then a year later, they're going to do a final run out for that same performance period. This allows for corrections, late filings, etc. Starting with the second performance year, there'll be an additional item included in the reconciliation report that would appear just before the reconciliation payment or repayment amount is shown, which is the NPRA and subsequent reconciliation for the prior performance year, if applicable. It's important to note that your reconciliation payment will be impacted by the change in target prices throughout the course of the program, because these prices are determined by utilizing a blend of both the hospital and hospital-specific and regional spending amounts. So, for example, in performance years 1 and 2, the breakout is 2/3 hospital and 1/3 regional. That changes to only 1/3 hospital and 2/3 regional by performance year 3. And then by performance year 4, the entire thing converts over to 100% regional. So for performance years 4 and 5, your entire calculation of your target price is based on the regional spending, not the hospital-specific spending.
Can you explain for us how stop-loss and stop-gain percentages will be applied?
So there's no repayment in performance year 1, and the stop-gain percentage is 5%. In performance year 2, the stop gain and stop loss are equal. They're both set at 5%. In performance year 3, both stop gain and stop loss are set at 10%. And then in performance years 3 and 4, the stop gain and stop losses are both set at 20%. As reflected in some of the tables that we published in our special report, you'll also see that exceptions are made for the rural referral centers, sole community hospitals, and Medicare-dependent hospitals. They have lower percentages established for both stop gain and stop loss.
Maria, earlier in this podcast, you mentioned that the post-acute care period is equal to 90 days under CJR. What happens in the program if that period exceeds 90 days?
So if on average your episodes are 30 days longer and the spending is greater than 3 standard deviations above the regional average, then the reconciliation payment can be reduced or the repayment amount may be increased by the amount over the 3 standard deviations.
Got it. Maria, thanks so much for taking some time to explain the data sharing and payment reconciliation aspects of CJR.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Mike.
Hi, this is Mike Passanante. Welcome back. We are glad you've joined us for another episode of the Hospital Finance Podcast. And today I am joined by Derek Chavis, who is a manager in our reimbursement services team here at Bessler Consulting. And if you're paying attention and you're familiar with the Comprehensive Care for Joint Replacement Program, you'll know there are many new facets with this. And of course, one of the questions that people have is, what is the appeals process? Is there an appeals process for this program? And Derek's going to help sort that out for us today. So welcome back, Derek.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So first off, Derek, has CMS established an appeals process for CJR?
Yes, they have. CMS has established an appeal process, but that process is very similar to that being used currently in other programs, for example, the cost reporting process.
So specific to CJR, can you kind of break down what that CMS appeals process looks like?
Sure. The process is very similar to the process that we're all currently familiar with. There's two levels of appeal. The first level of appeal is an appeal of a potential error and requires the participant hospital to notify CMS of an error within 45 days, or the calculation in question will be deemed final. CMS will respond within 30 days in writing and either agree, disagree, or provide notice of extension. Only the participant hospital can use this process. In the second level of appeal, we are appealing a dispute resolution process. This involves a request for reconsideration of an adverse determination to the first level of appeal. It must include a detailed explanation of the basis for the dispute and the days of CMS's response to the participant hospital's notice of calculation error. CMS will notify the participant hospital of receipt and next steps, and the review by CMS will occur within 30 days of that notice. A written determination will be issued by CMS within 30 days and will be final and binding.
Derek, can you help us understand what a hospital is able to appeal in this appeals process?
Sure. A hospital may appeal errors in payment or reconciliation, and some examples include calculation of reconciliation payments or repayments, calculation of the MPRA, calculation of percentage of quality performance, or determinations of successful reporting of voluntary outcomes and risk data.
So let's flip that around. What can't a hospital appeal?
Good question. Some of the things that a facility may not be able to appeal would include selection of the CJR model for testing by CMS, selection of a hospital to participate in the CJR model, details around the CJR model implementation, and termination of or design modifications around the CJR model, including expansion of its duration and or scope.
Excellent. Thanks for breaking that down for us today, Derek. I think that helps clarify what this appeals process looks like for hospitals that are in the CJR program currently or may have to participate at some point in the future.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Mike Passanante. Welcome back to the Hospital Finance Podcast. Today, I'm joined again by Maria Miranda, who is the Director of Reimbursement Services here at Bessler Consulting. Maria joins us today to talk to us about how waivers apply to the Comprehensive Care for Joint Replacement Program. So welcome back, Maria. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Mike.
Maria, just to get us started, can you remind our audience what CJR is and why it's important?
Sure. So CJR is the new mandatory bundled payment model introduced by CMS that became effective on April 1st of this year for about 800 hospitals and 67 MSAs. The model aims to support better and more efficient care for beneficiaries undergoing the most common inpatient surgeries, which are hip and knee replacements, or LEJRs, lower extremity joint replacements.
That's great. So in previous podcasts, we've talked about lots of different topics related to CJR. Today, we're going to focus in on waivers. So let me throw the first question at you. Maria, what can you tell me about CMS waivers established for the CJR model?
So CMS is introducing a number of program waivers for CJR. They're doing this in order to implement and operationalize the program, make it more efficient and potentially more effective. CMS and HHS's Office of Inspector General will jointly issue waivers of certain fraud and abuse laws for the purposes of testing this model.
So why are these waivers important?
The waivers are important because since the participant hospitals will basically be financially responsible for the cost of care under the CJR program, hospitals will be permitted to enter into certain types of financial gain-sharing arrangements with other downstream providers in the process. These providers include SNFs, home health agencies, long-term care facilities, inpatient rehab facilities, physician practice groups, and perhaps suppliers of outpatient therapy, and may include sharing of performance-based reconciliation payments and certain types of internal cost savings. Additionally, hospitals may also assign a portion of the downside risk to their collaborators. However, CMS will deal directly with hospitals with respect to payment and recoupment responsibilities, which in turn will be responsible for any payments to or recoupment from their collaborators.
So let's unpack some of the detail around the waivers. Can you explain which waivers are being deployed to help providers that are participating in CJR?
Sure. CMS is providing certain policy waivers for the beneficiaries that are part of a CJR episode of care. First, the regulations waive the direct supervision requirement as part of the Incident 2 services for home visits to patients during the episode covered by CJR. Under this waiver, clinical staff would be able to make a home care visit under the general supervision of a physician or non-physician practitioner where the beneficiary would not otherwise meet the requirements for a home health agency visit. For example, if the patient was not homebound. The waiver would allow up to 9 visits during the episode and would be billed under the Part B by the physician. Second, the rules allow for the waiver of 3 telehealth requirements for services provided during the CJR episode. The first would waive certain geographic site requirements so that the originating site could, for example, be located in an urban area. The second would waive requirements for the originating site in order to allow a telehealth visit to originate in the beneficiary's home. Finally, the rule allows for the waiver of selected payment provisions related to telehealth services. Third, the rules provide for the waiver of the requirement of the 3-day hospital stay for coverage of SNF services under Medicare following the initial hospitalization of a CJR episode. However, this waiver applies only in years 2 through 5. It doesn't apply in the first performance year of CJR. And it only applies for SNFs that have been rated at 3 stars or better under the 5-star rating system during certain periods. These facilities will be listed as qualifying facilities on the CMS website. Waivers do not provide retrospective protection. An arrangement must meet all of the waiver conditions during the period for which the waiver protection is sought.
How are potential referral and kickback issues being addressed?
These issues are addressed with fraud and abuse waivers. To address physician self-referral law and anti-kickback statute restrictions, CMS and the OIG have issued a joint statement that waives the federal anti-kickback statute and the physician self-referral law with respect to certain financial arrangements. These waivers will protect payments made under the gain-sharing and shared risk agreements that comply with the CJR program requirements. The joint statement also waives the federal anti-kickback statute and civil monetary penalty law with respect to certain incentives that participating providers may offer to Medicare beneficiaries during an episode. These waivers protect financial arrangements, gain sharing, and incentive payments. Let's look at each of these. First, you have financial arrangements. Providers who furnish direct care to CJR beneficiaries and intend to share in reconciliation payments or repayments are referred to as CJR collaborators and must do so under a written participation agreement with the hospital. Collaborator arrangements must be outlined for CMS in a CJR sharing arrangement, similar to those required under BPCI, and must stipulate that gain sharing will not be allowed in the event of any integrity issues on the part of the collaborator. Participant hospitals and their CJR collaborators must agree to the terms of their agreement prior to providing any care under that agreement. All documentation of the agreement terms and any payments or repayments must be retained for 10 years. Now let's discuss gain sharing. Gain sharing payments fall into two categories, reconciliation payments and internal cost savings. Gain sharing is voluntary for the hospital, but if agreed to, the hospital must provide these payments annually. Gain sharing cannot be predicated on the volume or value of referrals. Gain sharing payments made to physicians or physician group practices are capped at 50% of the total of the Medicare amount approved under the physician fee schedule for services furnished by the physician to the CJR beneficiaries during the calendar year. And now you have incentive payments. CJR collaborators can share in downside risk as well. Payments to hospitals under such an arrangement are called alignment payments and are not allowed if the hospital is not in a repayment situation. Alignment payments from an individual collaborator cannot exceed 25% of the amount owed by the hospital to CMS. The total amount of alignment payments that a hospital receives from all collaborators cannot exceed 50% of the amount owed by the hospital to CMS. Alignment payments may be collected at any time.
And are there any waivers specific to CJR beneficiaries?
Yes, there are. In order to address beneficiary inducement, civil monetary penalty law, and anti-kickback statute restrictions, there are waivers to beneficiary incentives. Under the CJR program, participant hospitals may provide beneficiary incentives in the form of preventive care items or an item of service that advances a clinical goal for a CJR beneficiary, such as post-surgical monitoring equipment, for example. Hospitals must document all of items and services that exceed $25 in value. Items and services involving technology may not exceed $1,000 in value, and items exceeding a value of $100 must be retrieved from the beneficiary at the end of the episode.
Maria, thanks for stopping by and helping us all understand more about waivers related to CJR.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, and welcome to the Hospital Finance Podcast. This is Mike Passanante. Glad you could be with us. Today, I'm joined by Barbara Eirig, who is a consultant in our reimbursement services team here at Bessler. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you for having me.
So today, Barbara is going to talk to us about financial agreements between providers within the CJR program. And if you've listened to one of our previous podcasts by Maria Miranda, she talks about reconciliation payments and how they're calculated under the CJR program. And if you heard that podcast or you're familiar with the program, you'll know that there are some upside and perhaps some downside risks associated with the CJR program in terms of the reconciliation payments. One of the interesting components of the CJR program is they allow hospitals who are primarily responsible for repayments or perhaps some gain sharing to take on financial agreements with associated providers to help share that risk. Barbara's going to talk to us more about that today. So Barbara, let me jump right back into the podcast here. And can you give us some background on the purpose of the agreements between providers in the CJR program?
Sure. Well, the purpose of the agreements between the CJR providers is for the hospitals to have the opportunity, like you said, to either gain sharing and risk sharing relationships with the other providers involved in the post-discharge treatment of CJR patients. And CMS's goal is to make patient care more efficient. So to achieve this, they're encouraging hospitals and the post-discharge providers to work together to improve the quality and the coordination of care, which is critical for the successful lower extremity joint replacement outcomes. Now, the post-acute services account for a very large portion of the overall episode expense. So if you're reducing expenses and increasing the quality of hospital setting during the surgical admission on its own, it's just not enough. But they're interrelated. So if the hospital reduces their complications during the stay, there should be a reduction in the amount of post-acute recovery time. And likewise, if the surgeon screens all his potential LEJR surgery patients and only proceeds with the cases that are a good fit for surgery, then the incidence of complications during the surgery may also be reduced.
So which types of providers can enter into collaboration agreements with hospitals?
Well, there are a number of providers. You've got the skilled nursing facilities, the home health agencies, the long-term care hospitals, the inpatient rehabilitation facilities, You've got the physicians, the non-physician practitioners, the PGPs, otherwise known as the physician practice groups, the providers and the suppliers of outpatient therapy services. And basically, the services must be related to Part A and Part B care for the 90 days after discharge, unless, of course, they're on the CMS exclusion list. Now, patients, CJR patients are rarely discharged directly home. So one patient might go to a skilled nursing facility, followed by rehab, and then they go home and receive home health care. They might have gone home with a walker or other therapy supplies. Another patient might go directly from the hospital to rehab or directly from the hospital to home health. And in extreme cases, a patient might go directly to long-term health care facility. But no matter what scenario, throughout the 90 days, the physicians, the PGPs, the hospital, the suppliers, they're all still involved in the care of the patient.
So we talked at the beginning of the podcast about repayments that a hospital might need to make to CMS depending on how their reconciliation works out. Is the hospital responsible for repayments to CMS regardless of any sharing arrangements that might be in place?
Yes, the hospital is always ultimately responsible for any repayments to CMS. The sharing agreements can incorporate risk-sharing payments from the CJR collaborators to the hospital, and these are called alignment payments. And their sole purpose is to share the hospital's responsibility for repayment. However, there are some stipulations. The hospital must retain at least 50% of its repayment responsibility. And a single collaborator cannot take on more than 25% of the hospital's risks. These payments must also be made by EFT, also known as electronic fund transfers, and they can be made anytime agreed upon by the parties. Now, CMS believes that it's appropriate for a hospital to retain at least 50% of its repayment responsibility, even after the final reconciliation, in order to ensure that all services are delivered appropriately. And as I said, the hospital would be solely liable for repayment of any negative repayments back to CMS. But if the hospital fails to repay, CMS would invoke all legal means to collect that debt, including referral to the remaining debt to the United States Department of Treasury.
So we talked about the risk sharing here. Can providers share in any upside payments that hospitals might receive once payments are reconciled with CMS?
Yes. Besides the sharing of the risk, they also share the reconciliation payments, and these are in the form of gain sharing payments. Now, gain sharing payments are the payments made from the hospital to the collaborator, but they can only occur once per year. And these gain sharing payments can only be either a reconciliation payment or an internal cost savings attributable to the care redesign, or a combination of the two. Now, CMS does not specify how these agreements must calculate the gain sharing payments. However, there is a cap on the payments to individual physicians, to PGPs, and to the non-physician practitioners. which is 50% of the total Medicare physician fee schedule for services furnished to the patients by that provider. And CJR hospitals have the flexibility to enter into different agreements with similar types of providers, but within the boundaries of the program.
Barbara, do all of the collaborators have to be Medicare providers?
Yes, they do. Since this is a CMS initiative, all the collaborators are required to be Medicare certified. Additionally, CMS has emphasized that CJR collaborators that receive a gain-sharing payment or make an alignment payment must have furnished services included in the episode to the CJR beneficiary. The payment arrangements for gain-sharing payments or for alignment payments contained in the agreement must be actually and proportionately related to the care of beneficiaries in the CJR episode. And the collaborator also must contribute to the care redesign strategies for the participant hospital.
And Barbara, does Medicare set any conditions on the financial agreements made between hospitals and other providers?
Yes, they do. The hospitals that enter into sharing agreements, they must update their compliance programs and have written policies for selecting their CJR collaborators. The documentation of the agreement must be established at the same time as the collaborator's agreement, and it should be done prior to the patient care and include a description, the date, the purpose, the scope, and the financial terms. Also, hospitals must publish a list of their CJR collaborators on their website and update it at least quarterly. However, beneficiaries retain the ability to use any provider that they choose. And as I stated earlier, payment arrangements must be proportional to the care provided, and collaborators must contribute to the care redesign strategies of the CJR hospital.
Barbara, one final question for you. Could you just dig into how physician groups are affected by gain-sharing payments?
Sure. The PGPs have the option of retaining some or all of their gain-sharing payments they receive from the CJR hospitals. The gain-sharing payments may only be shared with the individual physician or the non-physician practitioner who billed for an item or service for the patient in that performance year. So like arrangements between the hospital and the non-PGP providers, the agreements between the PGP and the individual members also must be in writing. They must be voluntary for the individual. They must require compliance with the CJR final rule. The payments must not be contingent or based on volume, but rather on quality of care. And the payments must be made by EFT. Also, the payment to the individual must not exceed the total gain-sharing payment received by the PGP. The practitioners must also retain the ability to make clinical decisions in the best interest of the patient, and individual practitioners cannot have separate agreements with the CJR hospital. And I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but all gain-sharing payments made by the participant hospital to the collaborators or the alignment payments made by the collaborators to the participant hospital, they must be auditable by HHS.
Barbara, thanks for stopping by and helping us understand more about financial agreements between hospitals and providers under the CJR program.
Well, thank you for having me.
For more information about CJR, get our new special report at Bessler.com/CJR. This new report discusses how CJR works, describes the responsibilities of anchor hospitals, affiliation agreements, NPRA, and the corrections and appeals process. Again, that's Bessler.com/CJR.
This concludes today's episode of the Hospital Finance Podcast. For show notes and additional resources to help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital, visit Bessler.com/podcasts. The Hospital Finance Podcast is a production of Bessler Consulting.